Hey, thanks for checking out another episode of the Good Advice Podcast. You're tuning into another great episode where we talk about how to grow and scale your business. All those good things and more are on the show. My name's Blake Benz, been hosting the podcast for about 5 years or so now, and you've come to the right place. We don't talk a lot theory here. We don't talk a lot about kind of the stuff you find up in the air, you know, the generalities about business. We try to get into the muck, the things that actually matter when it comes to actually growing your business. So lots to talk about today. We're going to be discussing some things you need to be thinking about when you decide to jump into the world of entrepreneurship. I think you're going to enjoy today's episode, but before we dive in, we do have a word from one of the amazing businesses that sponsor the podcast. Of course, if you ever wanted to sponsor your own business on the podcast, you can always reach out blake@goodadvicecoaching.com, or you can support the podcast at our Patreon, patreon.com/goodadvice. All that to say, enjoy this quick ad and we'll be right back. We talk to all sorts of business owners on the podcast, and one of the most common trends is business owners who just, for whatever reason, didn't fit in the corporate environment. A lot of entrepreneurs are seeking something, they're seeking an answer, and they're trying to figure out the simple question of, how do I fit in the world? And more importantly, is there a way to make a living that doesn't involve the traditional 9-to-5 job? One of the biggest pieces of advice that I give to entrepreneurs is, hey, you got to learn about who you are, what drives you, your motivation. That's why I want to tell you about this book, Your Turning Point, 33 Questions for Transformation. I love the impact I've been able to make through Good Advice and the Good Advice Podcast, but that would not have been doable without taking an honest assessment of who I was today and who I wanted to be tomorrow. Go to the website, the33questions.com, and get yourself a copy of Your Turning Point by Stephen J. Blank, and let's continue on this road for transformation together. Again, the website is the33questions.com, where you can buy your book today. All right, so I recorded an episode earlier this week, and I mentioned that I had a cold. Turns out it wasn't a cold. Turns out I have the flu. And I've actually never had the flu before. At least I don't think I have. I typically always get a flu shot. Didn't get one this year. And for literally no reason at all. And this might be a little bit of a shorter episode today. And if you can bear with me, a little bit of coughing here and there. I wanted to get this episode out. Wanted to get this episode posted because there's some things I've been thinking about that I think are pretty important. But it might be a short episode today. This might be something we might need to revisit a little bit down the road. I will say we did just have a really awesome day with the podcast, 500 downloads in a single day. Really good day for the podcast. And, you know, it got me really thinking about when I see big days like that. It got me thinking about how in recent months, really in the last probably year and a half, the number of people who've been starting podcasts and who've been doing podcasting and who've reached out to me and even hired me to help with podcasts and things like that. And, you know, really, it's a bit funny because there's really no secret to any of it. Honestly, it's a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of, you know, committing to something day after day, and seeing if it is, you know, able to turn into something profitable for you. And that's really the theme of today's episode today. It's the three questions you should ask yourself before you dive into entrepreneurship. It's the three questions you should ask yourself before you start a business. I've never really, this is just my personality, by the way. So there's plenty of people who would disagree with this. There's plenty of people who would have a problem with this. This is just me personally. I've never really been big on semantics, on the phrasing and, you know, how people, the words they choose to use. A good example of this would be, are you a coach or are you a consultant? You know, you really shouldn't say you're a coach if you're a consultant, vice versa. At the end of the day, I really don't think it matters that much. Now, funny enough, I've said that for years, you know, running Good Advice now for, you know, 5.5 years. I've said that for years. And funny enough, in the last probably 6 months, I've actually appreciated that segmentation of those two terms a lot more. I was just never someone to say like, oh no, you shouldn't use that word. In the same way, when someone says, you know, I want to be an entrepreneur or I want to start a business, I've seen people in the past be like, you know, oh, you shouldn't call yourself an entrepreneur if you're, you know, there's a difference. And I don't know how much of a difference there really is. I mean, the world of entrepreneurship, the world of running a business, you know, I think stressing about those terms is probably wasted energy, honestly. So for the sake of our argument today, or our sake of our conversation, I'm going to use them interchangeably. And I think now is a really interesting time in our world for people to be thinking about starting a business. We're coming out of a fairly bloody first quarter in the corporate world, where we've seen mass layoffs in the tech industry, seen a number of people being let go. We're seeing wages just not keep up with the cost of things, and there be some really challenging situations for people in our workforce, especially middle. What's the expression? Middle income, basically. People, I saw an article today where it was in like LA, where 150K a year is considered low income in LA, which is just wild to me. I remember growing up thinking, man, making it, like being wealthy, would be over 100K. Like, that was my thinking. And so it's funny now how it's just changed. It's just different today than it was even when I was a kid. So all that to say, a number of variables have gotten people thinking a lot about starting a business, becoming an entrepreneur, you know, the road to being in control of your financial future. And I'll just say a few things right off the bat, just to kind of clear the air about entrepreneurship and business ownership and all that stuff. You need to know that entrepreneurship is amazing for being in control of your financial destiny, but it is not the cure for whatever problems you're facing in your life. I think it's wise to be careful not to fall into the trap of the grass is always greener, where you think, if I just did this myself, if I was running my own business, if I was just, you know, and you finish that sentence with whatever, you know, comes to mind. You need to know that the illustrious, amazing, profitable, you know, incredible journey that some people are on in the world of entrepreneurship, you just need to know how curated that is for social media. And in many cases, it's curated to convert people into customers. In many cases, it's someone who is selling an image, they're selling a brand, they're selling what have you, but they're trying to generate revenue in some way. So being very candid and direct with you, and I would give the disclaimer that, hey, this was just my journey and I hope it's better for you. But having had so many people on the podcast over the years, you know, probably 200 plus people at this point, many of which are 7-figure or 8-figure or more business owners at this point, I've learned that my story is not a rarity. It's actually the norm. And it's actually the story of pretty much everyone who's ever come on this show. So setting the stage a little bit, you need to understand that entrepreneurship is the hardest thing you will ever do. Running a business is the hardest thing you will ever do. So I'll say that as just the standard. And if it ends up not being the case for you, you can know that, one, you got lucky. Two, you have been able to leverage your expertise from your career. For example, I had someone on the podcast who, amazing businesswoman, her husband quit his job and started his own business and was flourishing. And he was like, yeah, I mean, I'm flourishing because I have 20 years of connections. I have 20 years of expertise. So understand that if you don't have that, you know, it's going to be more difficult for you. Again, this isn't, I've said this before in other episodes, this isn't like, this isn't me gatekeeping. This isn't me saying this must happen to you. But understand that many of us are always drawn to the exception instead of the norm. You know, it's like when you get married and people are like, hey, yeah, marriage is tough. Marriage is coming. Well, not my marriage. You know, you look at your spouse. It's day one of week one of your marriage. Not us. You know, maybe that won't happen to us. Same thing when you have kids, right? You know, our kids, they're going to go to bed when we say they, you know, I mean, it's just, we always think we're the exception and not the norm, rather than understanding that the norm is what people experience day in and day out. And what allows us to be successful long term is preparing ourselves for that norm rather than being unprepared and hoping for the exception. You know, and again, I hope the exception ends up being true for many people listening to this podcast, but it also simply won't, right? So let's talk about what is the norm, what is the expectation for many people, okay? If you choose to start a business, you need to know how incredibly difficult it's going to be for a number of reasons. And it's not that you aren't skilled or talented in whatever product or service you're selling. It's because when you worked in a corporation or you worked for a business or what have you, you filled one function, you filled one job, you were sales, you were social media, you were marketing, you were whatever. And now you manage every function. All of it now falls on your shoulders. And the reason previously, when you worked for that company, that you did that one function was because that is what was actually your skill set. None of the rest of it was. I mean, some of it you maybe could have flexed and done. And yeah, I could do that if I needed to cover for someone. But many of these other functions you hadn't done before, they're not your gifting. And then when you run a business, it is all now under your purview. It is now all under your responsibility, right? So you have to learn how to do these other functions good enough to keep the business afloat and to allow you to hone in on the thing that you actually do really well. It's kind of like Pareto's principle a little bit. But let's talk, if you want to start a business, and maybe, and by the way, I would always even just encourage starting it as a side hustle, testing the waters. You know, sometimes people tell me, I've heard this before, where it's like, well, I'd have to go all in. And I'd say it's pretty rare that I've actually found that to be the truth. In hindsight, if I could have started Good Advice as a side hustle, I would have. In my case, I felt like I couldn't. Because even though my services were different from the company I was coming from, it felt like a lack of integrity for me to be going out and selling businesses on my services instead of using that time to find other businesses that I could then sell for the company I was working for. So in my case, it was, I felt like I needed to go all in because it was the only way I could do it the right way. For most people, that's not the case. For most people, there is an opportunity. Well, I shouldn't say for most people. For a lot of people, there is an opportunity to grow your side hustle and continue working your day job. The reason I recommend that is because getting your business to profitability is going to take much longer than you think it will, and it will cost you much more than you think it will to get to that point. So let's get into it. Let's say you want to start a business, or maybe a side hustle, and you want to know what's like the bare minimum that I need to keep top of mind before I jump into this. So I have three questions for you to think about. Question number one, what will you sell? Question number two, who will buy it? And question three, how long are you able to commit to see if it works? What will you sell? Who will buy it? And how long can you commit to see if it works? So let's talk about these three questions. And I think these are these are three just absolute core questions that any business person should start with before they ever think about quitting the job. If you can't answer these three questions, you shouldn't quit the job. You shouldn't start the business. So what will you sell? I think this is worth parking on for a second, because I think a lot of people, they treat it like a dartboard where they throw darts to think about, well, yeah, maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do that. You know, someone will say like, well, maybe I'll do SEO. Have you ever done SEO before? Maybe I'll do websites. Have you ever made a website before? Or dropshipping's kind of had its time. It's not really in the conversation anymore. But like in the mid 2015 to 2020, not even that late in that decade, honestly, but dropshipping was a really big thing where you would order, the best example I can give is, let's say you order clothes from a store and the store delivers it to you in 2 weeks, but the person who runs the store never actually had the clothes. Your order came in and then they went to, you know, they went to the factory, ordered it, had it shipped to you. They're the middleman, basically. Okay, that's effectively what dropshipping is. And so they take a cut on you ordering through them, and you're none the wiser. You think they are the ones who have the clothes. But point being, they're getting around having to deal with inventory and stock and all that kind of stuff. So dropshipping was a really big thing. So coming out of dropshipping, that little era, many entrepreneurs who were wanting to become business owners were like, maybe I'll do dropshipping, because that was like the trendy thing, you know? Some more common examples we see of this are things like, maybe I'll do real estate. I'll become a realtor, you know, maybe I'll do. And like, if you spend enough time in these circles, you hear people kind of just like throwing out ideas of like, maybe I'll try this, maybe I'll try that. And a lot of these people, what they're looking for is just a way to make money. They're just looking for ways to create reliable income. By the way, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. I think that when you aren't aware of the price of entrepreneurship, when you aren't aware of how much work and time and diligence that it takes, just picking something is not going to give you enough emotional commitment. It's not going to give you enough of the perseverance you need to push through unless you're deeply passionate about it. So my advice on what is it should you sell is, it should be something. It should be something you're passionate about, something you love, or at least care a lot about to do it for most of your day. And it's got to be something that you're good at, or at least willing to get better at. When I first started Good Advice, I just love business. I love talking. I mean, obviously, I'm a junkie for this stuff. I got over 400 episodes of this kind of stuff, right? So clearly, I love it. I really enjoy it. I love talking with people. I love giving advice. I love helping people. That's literally all it is at the end of the day. I'm a former high school teacher, and I love teaching. It's just fun for me. I have no other way to describe it other than it's fun. I like it. And I'm deeply passionate. And here I am with the flu recording a podcast episode. So clearly I like podcasting, right? I'm passionate about it. So for me, it was never really about what will I do. For me, it was more of the next question. Who's going to buy it? You know, who's going to pay for it? See, this road of entrepreneurship is such a challenging one. It's such a long one that if it's not something you care about, I think you're going to have a hard time. I think you're going to struggle and I'm trying to think about how to describe this without like over dramatizing it. You know, I'm trying not to, I don't want this to sound like you are sacrificially, like heroically noble for becoming a business owner. But I do really want to give credit to many nights in sweat, you know, in sweats, wearing sweats and also sweating. Many nights panicked about the next day, panicked about finances. Even when finances are good, the stress of when someone pays you a big invoice and am I doing the right thing? Am I delivering on everything I said I would? Am I giving the value that I promised? Am I a man of my word? Am I a man of character? You know? And I've had even customers, this would be lying if I said otherwise, I've had customers where it didn't pan out the way I thought it would. It didn't pan out the way I said it would. You know, and the real emotional weight of just, I'm sorry. You know, I was wrong. It went this way and I thought it was going to go that way. You know, I mean, that's just, there is a heaviness that comes with deciding to run a business, and it's not for everyone. But you got to know what it is you're going to sell. By the way, it's to your credit to be as specific as possible on what you're going to sell. I think a lot of us were way too generic. I think I was way too generic when I first started, and I think it really set me back. Or set me back is the wrong word. I think it made the initial momentum extremely slow. I think even in like really highly competitive industries, like real estate, when your offer is really obvious, I mean, you're a realtor, you sell houses, you buy houses, right? It should be really obvious. I think even in those situations, it's to your credit to really think about how is your experience different from someone else? And that moves us on to the second question. Who's going to buy from you? Who's your customer? This is one of the hardest things that I think we struggle with as new business owners, because for us, the world is a sea of opportunity and we don't want to say no to anybody. When you're young in business, you can't say no to anybody. You need the cash. But many times I have heard people say things that are essentially nonsense from a business strategy standpoint. The two that come to mind, these are both from events I was at. Someone said, my perfect customer is someone you know. It's not a great identity of your buyer. The second one I've mentioned on the show before also, men and women who use the internet. The problem with these like really generic avatars, if you want to call it that, customer profiles, what have you. I'm sick, so I'm probably not going to edit out these coughs, by the way. Any other time I would have, but I'm sorry. You just have to deal with it, right? The problem is that when you're not incredibly specific on who you're selling to, it just makes it hard to craft your marketing, to specify your messaging to that person. You know, think of it this way. From me, my point of view, as a business guy. So business consulting or business coaching, whatever you want to call it, right? My customer could very easily be someone who's just starting their business for the very first time. My customer could also be someone who has been running their business for a few years and they are a six-figure business. My customer could also be a seven-figure earner as well. Now, understand something. When I go out and I say, hey, I'm Blake with good advice. My perfect customer, or what they say in the networking world, my perfect referral is, my perfect referral is someone you know who runs a business. And I try to encapsulate all of the people across those buckets. There's a real problem with doing this because those people in those three stages of business are experiencing drastically different problems. They're experiencing drastically different problems. They are all willing to pay different price points. And therefore, they're all attracted to different offers that you have as a business owner. The person who quit their job yesterday to start a business on Monday, what they care most about is getting customer number one. That's not what the 100K business owner person's thinking about. That person's thinking a lot about scale. They're thinking about, okay, I've built something. I'm at 100, 200, 300 grand. How do I take this thing to the next level? They're thinking about hiring. They're thinking about paid services, digital advertising, SEO, getting a professional website. These are just different things. You know, advertising on the Good Advice podcast. These are different things these people are thinking about than the person who just started their business. Because you are handling all functions of the business, it pays then for you to be able to be mindful of your capacity and understand that you are incapable of adequately creating 10 different offers, 10 different services for all these different people. The businesses that do well have one service that they've curated and that they've really put their time and energy into it. And as that has built momentum, they have rolled out extra services. Service number two, service number three, service number, the people who have more than one offer, one of those offers rose to the top and fed the business early on. That allowed them then to do these other things. So you got to know who exactly you're selling to. And to talk about one customer I had this conversation with one time. We were trying to have this conversation. And what the customer said back to me was, well, I can't focus in on one group because that would be saying no, and I would lose out on all this opportunity. And I think that is the problem, is we think we're saying no to all these other options instead of understanding the value that comes when we hyper-focus on one option. Now, the difference here, the caveat to this, is when you're testing and trying a different market, you're testing a different product, you want to see if a service can go anywhere. So you're willing to dedicate some extra hours, some extra resources to it, just to see, can it go somewhere? That's honestly how I got into this whole podcasting thing with, you know, selling podcasting services, is I had someone who came to me who said, hey, can you help me start a podcast? And I said, sure. And they said, what do you charge? And I said, $500. And they said, okay. And that led to another person, and then another person. And then that led to, hey, you know, what would it look like for you to just handle all of our post-production? And so now I'm, you know, there's this whole other service now that's sprawling out that I never expected. Sprawling out makes it sound negative, that it's kind of taking a life of its own. And that's because I was willing to indulge and say, yeah, okay, I'm willing. But it was never the main thing from the get-go, if that makes sense. And that brings me to the third question. How long are you willing to commit to this? If the amount of time you've set aside is 30 days, your business is going to fail. I'm going to be real honest with you. If it's 30 days, it's going to fail. If it's 2 months, it's going to fail. If it's 3 months, it's going to fail. I think you need at a minimum 6 months. And I think for most people, it's going to be a year. I think about this guy named Kevin, who comes to our Tuesday morning group, amazing sales guy. He built up pretty much by himself this incredible industry here in Northwest Arkansas. And it took him about a year to do it. And he's an amazing sales guy. It just takes time. It takes time to figure some of these things out. And a lot of times what you think you know, you realize you don't know until you get out into the thick of it and start doing it. So this is where I think you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be honest with your spouse or with your family or what have you. You know, I think I told my wife, my poor wife, that, hey, and you know, we're going to be millionaires in a year. We were not. We were not. 5 years later, we're still not millionaires. So understand that the road can be long, and you have to be honest with how long it's going to take for this thing to take a life of its own and start being profitable. What that also means is being honest on your spending. I cringe thinking of the many business owners I've talked to over the years who spend a lot of money very quickly, thinking they could just throw cash at this. They could just burn cash, and it didn't work. They burned up all of their savings. I mean, this was basically me. I had so much money saved that was pretty much all gone in the first year. And the second year, was the second year COVID? Let me think. Maybe it was the third year that was COVID. I can't remember. But it made it very difficult going into that time period because I'd burned up most of my cash. So be honest with the process. Be honest with how long it could take you. And if you're not happy living on ramen, you know, if you're not happy with potentially not making much money for the next year or more, entrepreneurship's not for you. And that's not a jab or a dig, or you don't have what it takes. It's empowering to know when something is not for you. You know, I mean, my wife, she asked me to go skydiving with her, and I was like, nope. And she's like, come on, wouldn't it be fun if we, and I think her today would not want to do this. This was like 5 years ago, her version of her. I'll have to ask her actually if she'd want to. I don't know if she would want to or not. But she was like, you know, don't you want to like overcome your fear and like, you know, do that? And I was like, nope, not me. I think it's genetic. My dad was afraid of heights. I'm afraid of heights. And I'm just comfortable with that. There's just nothing in me that's like, oh, I have to overcome. I'm just like, I'm good. Or I was talking to someone, I was talking to a friend of mine this morning who he had to get shoulder surgery because he went to the gym and, like lifted too many weights and injured himself, and he had to get surgery basically. And, we were joking, and I go, that's why I don't go to the gym, man. You know, now do I think I should probably exercise more? Yes. Should I be in better shape? Yes. But I'm also like, I don't know. I've just never really been that guy to be like, you know, I got to bench press this amount, or I don't know. I guess I just don't really find my value in that kind of stuff. So in the same way, if your value is this, you know, beautiful image of an entrepreneur and like that life where you make your own hours, you know, maybe you're putting too much of your identity in that. And instead realizing that it's okay to say, hey, this is not for me. Now, having said that, if you've listened to this whole episode and this is for you and you're on that journey, I can tell you you're in good company. I can tell you that we have a lot of people, especially if you're local, we have a lot of people on our Tuesday morning group at Red Kite at 9 a.m. who are on that journey too, who want to share that journey with you. And I'm only an email away. Blake@goodadvicecoaching.com. This is like the worst thing I could possibly say, but I love giving free advice. I really do. I have people who reach out to me all the time for help, for questions, who have a, you know, what do you think about this? I love to help. I really do. I say it's the worst thing I could say because I just like the business side of me is like, oh, I can't spend all this time talking to people for free. But I'm going to do it anyway. I got my business started giving free advice on Reddit for months. I still do that to today's date. I still do that a little bit. So anyway, so those are three questions to think about. What will I sell? Who will buy it? And how long will it take? How long am I okay with doing this before it makes me some money? Think about those three questions and then make an honest decision on if entrepreneurship is for you. Hey, thanks for listening today. That's all we got. I appreciate you tuning into today's show. And thanks so much for those of you who've supported the podcast long term. I really appreciate it. Take care. Talk soon. See ya.